Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on August 23rd, 2015, and is entitled, How to Be God's Friend.
Well, friends, good morning once again. I have my Bible. You might want to do your electric app as well. You'll see how to connect with Wi-Fi inside the bulletin. The back of the bulletin gives you the directions for that password. We're going to Genesis chapter 18. While we're talking Vacation Bible School, if you were volunteering or applied yourself in any way by setup, tear down, or teaching, or snacks, would you just stand up? We'd just love to just thank you. Just stand up right where you're at. Look at that. It took a team. Thank you. Thank you. And what a picnic we had yesterday. I think for Ainsley and me, we love church picnics, but I would say that was one of our favorite picnics ever because of just being able to connect with some of you who are here, our guests back from Vacation Bible School, or even just, it was just a unique, wonderful, wonderful event. We certainly felt the presence of the Lord. I want to thank you for those who were able to attend. There's always next year, so we're grateful for that. Well, today's message is entitled, How to Be God's Friend. Man, isn't that interesting? I think we got time for one joke. Here we go. Young man selling lemonade, young boy. Sign says, I'm raising money for my bicycle. So a man rode up on a bicycle. Noticed that this young boy had a lawnmower for sale as well, or swap out. So the man said, well, I need a lawnmower. How about you take my bike, I take your mower? And he said, well, let me try it out, sir. So he gets on the bike, rides it around, says, okay, it's a deal. Hands the bike to him, takes the mower. He's over there leaning, pulling on that cord. It is not starting. He told the boy, this mower does not start. He said, well, sir, you got to cuss at it. Cuss at it? I am a Christian. Matter of fact, I have forgotten how to cuss. He said, well, sir, keep pulling on that rope and it'll come back to you. All right, some of you don't know. We take a look here, how to be God's friend. I don't know if you've ever had words that are a self-contradiction. We call that an oxymoron. Put two words together and say, what in the world is that? Oxymoron would be something like this, found missing. Act natural. Those are oxymorons. Here's one, jumbo shrimp. Have you seen that one? Fresh frozen strawberries. Another oxymoron, plastic glasses. Huh? About working vacation. And when it comes right down to that, probably the biggest oxymoron is God's friend. How does anyone become God's friend? What could you bring to that relationship that would even be like a co-equal? That you'd even bring anything to help benefit Almighty God? We're using Abraham today. It's an amazing thing. When looking at Abraham, he is the only one in Scripture that has actually said he's God's friend. Now, we know John 15, Jesus says, if you do what I command you to do, you are my friend. Remember that? John 15, 14, 16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master wants, but I call you now friends. But the only one with which Scripture says, and those verses on your message summary, there's one typo, and that's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 is the correct one, so you may want to write that down. Another one is James 2, verse 23. And I like Isaiah 41, 8, very specific. The Lord says, you, Israel, are my servant. You are descendants of Abraham, my friend. Wow. Who wouldn't want to have God as your friend? I mean, come on. If you have God as your friend and everybody else your enemy, that's all right. You're going to be all right. I mean, do you have people come along and say, I just got to tell you, Pastor, I've got 552 friends on Facebook. Oh, really? We're talking something a little bit different here. Can you imagine the deep and the closest? Because biblical friendship is a whole lot more than just saying, hey, friend. Something here that's going on, and Abraham has it together where God says, Abraham's my friend. I like that. It said of Mark Twain at the height of his career, real name Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, he's touring Europe with his 9-year-old daughter, and everybody knew Mark Twain, and they just came up, train station, you know it, they're there. And at the end of the little tour, his daughter came up and says, Daddy, you know everybody except God. Isn't that interesting? No, it never was known whether Mark Twain was a believer. When we take a look here, friendship with God, what does it look like? How do you get there? What's the characteristics of this divine friendship? That's where we're at. Let's look. We're in Genesis chapter 18, four qualities that really come to our attention. Let's check it out. First one, spontaneity, verse 1. I'm in Genesis 18. Let's look at verse 1 through verse 3. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Now, let's take a look here for a moment here, because friends are spontaneous. They can just show up without announcing themselves. That's what's happening here. God shows up. And we know it's God because if you notice in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is our English translation for the sacred name of God, Yahweh, consonants YHWH. Whenever you see that in your Old Testament scriptures, it's Yahweh. So we know it's God who shows up. Now, there are other lords in there, like verse 3. It says, My Lord, and it's lowercase letters. That's the Hebrew word Adonai, Lord. You are dignitary. You are my Lord. But we see here, verse 1 says, now that's important. Abraham is God's friend. God just shows up. Now that's an amazing thing. Little side note, the English, really the Church of England, when it is in their terms, Trinity Sunday, they will read this passage. And they'll take a look at this. That's theophany, where they come along and God in flesh, God in one, and they'll say, look, this is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But a correct rendering is one is God and the other two are angels. As we look at that scripture and just kind of pass that on to you, because look at verse 22. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Now, L-O-R-D. Now, that's important. So the two of them are angels, and this is the beginning of that raining down of some brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And just to highlight that, verse 1 of chapter 19, those two men show up, and Scripture says, Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate. But God was still with Abraham. Man. A pre-incarnate visit, let's just say, of Jesus. Before he took on human flesh in that little manger scene we call Christmas. When we look here, isn't it interesting? Because friends do that. They just show up any old time. Could be angels, but It reminds me of Hebrews 13, verse 2. Isn't that true? It says that don't forget to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Hebrews 13, 2. You may want to write that down. I mean, what do you feed an angel when he shows up? Angel food cake. That's exactly right. Just be ready. But friends come unannounced, spontaneous. Jesus' analogy of what it's like to pursue God talks about that in Luke 11, 15. Remember that? He says, man, a friend goes to his friend in the middle of the night. Bam, bam. I need some bread. I'm hungry. We're here to make sandwiches. You know, man, that's what friends do. God will show up. And he did here. Never know. I had a good friend growing up as a child. You know, friends, they don't knock. They just cut through the kitchen door. We had, you know, they couldn't find the door. They go around the backyard. What are you doing here? Remember telling my children that. Little Luke, my son, said, Luke, you are my buddy, and we have a special relationship. Anytime you need daddy, you just come on in, whatever I'm doing. And he did. There was one time I just... person pouring their heart out in a counseling session, he swings on, shows me his dinosaur. Friends will do that. God will do that. I want to be God's friend. He'll show up. Isaac Newton, great scientist and really a great Christian. You know, those laws of gravity and motion. One of them was, everything continues in a state of rest, he says, unless it's compelled to change by force impressed upon it. You get like stationary, no budging. That could happen to me or you. Unless God shows up, he kind of like pushes us. Grow up, get going, do something with your life. I like doing nothing. I'm comfortable with myself. And God shows up and starts pushing. Who knows? Man, some of our greatest growth has happened when God shows up. I didn't like this. It's called a trial. How awesome is that? And so we were going nowhere, wanting nothing. And God says, I want something for you. I've got things for you to do. Let's give you a push. Man. So, interesting, God's friends often we'll open up and say, Lord, any old time. It's important. I like in James 4, 13 through 17, where we have to say, hey, whatever God wills, I want. We cannot. James 4, 13 through 17, do not say in your heart, I'm going to move over here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy that. As believers, we are to say, if God wills, I'll go over here, move over there, buy that. All such boasting, James 4, 16, is evil. So God has a way of pushing because, hey, friends can do that. Ah, Abraham, a friend of God. Man. What a relationship. Some people just settle for, I want to just believe in God. God says, I'm coming in. Spontaneous. Number two, humility. Let's look at humility. The proper response to God is with a humble heart, whereby friends place him above everything and everyone else. That's what Abraham did. Look at verse 2. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Now, what an amazing man Abraham was. Now, these three guys show up in the heat of the day. That's what it says. And listen, Middle East, nobody travels in the middle of the heat. You either went on your journey in the morning or late in the afternoon. I mean, really late evening. And these guys show up. Abraham sees them, and he goes after them. And it says, ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, if I've now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Now, we're talking humility on this section here. What is amazing, he bows down. Now, the Hebrew word is, when you bow down, traditionally, he's got his face in the dust. And I mean, if it's the heat of the day, if you've ever gone desert camping with us, I mean, that's some hot, radiant heat coming down. And he's down on his face to the ground. And if I were to demonstrate that, I would disappear from your sight. And it's an amazing thing because you've got to just increase the value here. I mean, Abraham's pretty wealthy. Best tradition says that he had 318 servants. He would be considered a sheik in today's economy. The guy had it going on. And he recognizes he's in the presence of somebody greater than himself. And he humbles himself. Pretty awesome. So he says so clearly, man, can you realize this? Says God, my Lord, verse 3, Adonai, you are Lord, you're great. Isn't that wonderful? Love that aspect. That's what true worship and humility is all about. It's not on me, not looking at me. We come into this great chapel, engaging God, not looking at ourselves. We look to the Lord. Sometimes those things can just get distracted, steal away our mind. Sometimes we just can move our mouth. We're not really engaging God. We're not really understanding. We're in the midst of Adonai. We just go about our thing. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, I believe a very large majority of churchgoers are merely unthinking, slumbering worshipers of an unknown God. So the natural response to worship is really humbling ourselves before the Lord, realizing we're in His presence even now. Jesus came along and says, you know, we just need to remind ourselves to place God above everything, everyone else, career, pursuit, even family. The big shock to me many years ago came in Matthew 10, 37 through 39. He said, starts off, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. I need to even realize I need to release my children to go serve God. I'd love to have them all around. I'm so glad they're serving the Lord. I'd love to have everybody in Huntington Beach here. So I just love our city. But we release them because I want to love Jesus. And I want to love the Lord with you. So let's look at number 3. How about ministry? What else did Abraham have going on in order to be the friend of God? Friends, point 3 says, friends of God serve personally, immediately, and generously. Let's look at verse 3. And he said, my Lord, if I now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, and after that you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant, look at that humility. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent of Sarah and said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Take a look at that personal response. I you know, it's an amazing thing. Abraham, it says, he hurried off. Look at verse 6. Abraham hurried into the tent. That's an amazing thing. I mean, he could have said, let me show you how cheeky I am with a little cheeky. I'm going to clap my hand and servants, go. But he went after it. He hurried in there. Then he went off into the herd. He did it. And listen, he's not some spring chicken. This dude is 99 years of age. Chapter 17, verse 24 says he's 99. Sarah is 90, chapter 17, verse 17. I mean, he could add a lot of reasons. Listen, I'm old and it's hot and go get it. He went after it. Serve the Lord. Oh, what a friend of God. I like that. I want to be that way. There's a lot of things I determined to do beyond the norm. I'm so glad. Thank you for your support to your senior pastor. What a joy it is for me to do this. 9 years I used to do what I did for free. Now I actually get a salary somewhat. It's great. It's biblical, by the way. But I actually have to find things that don't compensate me. I want those are my rewards in heaven. You reward me by saying thank you, especially when our family needs that, marrying, burying, dedicating. I mean, it's great as a pastor. But I have to pursue things to serve the Lord in that extra step, that extra mile, that extra coat. Isn't that true? That's true. It's so important when we get a chance to serve the Lord. Every Christian should have a ministry. Matter of fact, a Christian without a ministry is a contradiction because the idea of a Christian is one who serves God. It's so true, friends. It's a contradiction to be a Christian without serving God. You become what we call a consumer. So every Christian has a ministry, one who serves God. That's why I love what we do here at Hope Chapel. It's called Sit and Serve. Our services are 1 hour, 5 minutes. You sit in one service, enjoy, receive the presence of the Lord. Then you go and serve in 1 hour and 5 so that others can come in and enjoy God. You sit, then maybe one of the other 2 services out of the 3, you serve. Glory to God. Give God 2 hours of my life per week. Man, love that. You will never regret that when you stand before God. Never want regrets myself. So when we look here, Abraham served personally. Personally. He did not get his personnel. And he served immediately. Man, he ran off. Verse 2 talks about that as well. Man, he went after them, ran, bowed down, then ran to get the meal going. What a guy. Let her see he served generously. Goes into Sarah. Man, let's get those wonderful flower elements going. And he goes off into the herd. Take a look at that. And it's interesting, verse 7, he took a tender and good calf. You know what that is? That's filet mignon. Wow. Huh? Good thing I said that here in the second service. So, because some of you start salivating, I know that. I mean, hello. Isn't it awesome to give God generously? I mean, you're going to squander anything. Don't cheapen things with God. Just have your heart open to Him. John Henry Jowett, I like what he said. Service that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Isn't that true? Nothing in, nothing out. So just want to encourage you. I know you are. What a great church we have, especially when it comes to giving generously and we get to distribute and steward your resources God has. We do things like VBS and great, outstanding just social elements that just provide. It's just amazing. And I like Luke 6, verse 38. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Good pressure, pressed down, rolling over your lap, will be given back to you. Same measure you give, given back to you. Let's take a look at number 4, conformity. Conformity. Friends are loyal to trust and obey God's promises. Isn't it great to have a friendship? Isn't it great to be in any relationship where you say, I trust you? When trust is broken, that is, by and large, the hardest to breach and come through and mend when relationships lose trust. Some of us, probably all of us, have had broken promises. But man, something about that with Abraham. If we go a little bit further, let's check it out here. Because in verse 9, then they said, to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." We take a look here. Something about trust and loyalty is an amazing thing. To be a friend with somebody, how about a friend with God? Trust the Lord with his promises, come through. James 2:23, we cited it earlier, it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." God, you promised me something? I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you will. Sarah, she laughs. Now, that's a little bit intriguing because there are forms of laughter. Laughter of a scowl, ha. Laughter of unbelief, ha. And then there's a laughter that says, "This is going to rock the place. Ha ha! Can't wait to go home and tell everybody." Sarah laughed in unbelief, and that's why God addressed it. "You don't believe." "I didn't laugh." Right there, called out, had a chance. So when we take a look here, it's important for us, is it not? God says, "Abraham, you're going to have a friend." And he laughs. It's actually a beautiful thing, not only in Genesis 16:2, but 17:7. He laughs. "Really? Wow." Sarah laughs in unbelief. Trust. It's amazing when you say, "You know, God's going to do something for you. Do you believe him?" Sometimes we laugh within, and God knows. "Ha. Ha, no. No way. Come on. You try to even direct the conversation. Do you trust God?" "Oh, oh, sure I do. Now let's talk about me and let's talk about sports." So it's important when we get a chance. Well, I welcome the worship team up. Let's take a look at John 15:14. Remember I was citing John 15, where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. John, the Gospel of John 15, verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." That's the verse. You are my friends. So to keep that friendship going, obey the Lord. I love it when he says, "No longer," verse 15, "do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He goes ahead and he says so clearly, verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love." How do I do that, Lord? How do I abide in your love? Verse 10, there it is. There it is. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Well, friends, keep on falling in love with Jesus. Well, what does that look like? Keep on obeying him. Keep on obeying him. Praise the Lord. Let's drop the house lights here. Let me read you a letter I have. Then we're going to get into a worship song, and let me pray you off a blessing. A supposed letter it says, I had to write to tell you how much I love you and care for you. Yesterday I saw you walking and laughing with your friends, and I hope that soon you'd want to be walking along with me too. So I painted a sunset to close your day and whispered a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited, you never called. So I just kept on loving you as I watched you fall asleep last night. I wanted to touch you. I spilled moonlight on your face, trickled down your cheeks as so many tears have. I wanted so much to comfort you, and the next day I exploded a brilliant sunrise into a glorious morning for you. But you woke up late and rushed off to work, and you didn't even notice. My sky became cloudy. My tears were the rain. I really love you. I try to say it in the quiet of the green meadows and in the blue sky. The wind whispers my love through the treetops and spills it into the vibrant colors of all the flowers. I shout it to you in the thunder of the great waterfalls, and I compose love songs for the birds to sing to you. I warm you with the sunshine and perfume the air with nature's sweet scent. My love for you is deeper than any ocean and greater than any need in your heart. If you'd only realize how I care. My dad sends his love too. I want you to meet him. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please call on me soon, no matter how long it takes. I'll wait because I love you, your friend Jesus. Friends, let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that? Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this song together. I'll be right back. Well, friends, what a great morning. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him, and he with me. What a friendship. Now I know that if you had a good friend that came to your door, you would let him in. And Jesus is here at the heart of some of us here. Right there. You can just sense him wanting to come in. Let me lead you in that little prayer, that little invitation. It's between you and Jesus, but how much more so right here in the setting of the chapel? It's between you and God. You're not going to take anybody with you to heaven, just you alone. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, way to go, everybody. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of all mankind. I believe now I need you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life right now to stay. I'm going to live for you. I want to be your friend. I want you to count on me. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm telling you, it'd be awesome. I would like to just encourage you. We've got individuals here that are ready to pray. If they would station themselves down, we're going to dismiss you right now. Come forward if you don't mind and just say, you know what? I prayed that prayer and gave my life to the Lord. We have Bibles on your way out. We would love to give you a Bible. Please. And a pamphlet now that you're a Christian. Keep coming to Hope Chapel is a great sign too. Let me pray you off a blessing. If you're needing healing in any way, come on down here. God's here. Do a miracle. But Father, we love you and we want to thank you for sending Jesus. We're going to believe, Lord, that there's some here that were touched by you. I know I have been. Let us talk about you where we go. May your glory just come upon our homes and in our places of study and our work. Lord, we thank you. Blessings now upon each person. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. You're dismissed. Have a great day. See you next week.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.